Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Drinking. So I never really kind of watched it much after I'd given my life to the Lord. And so finally, we got cable just this last football season, right? Best football season to get cable. So we get cable, right? And immediately, like the first game of the season's on, and I'm standing there, I was sitting at the time. And so I'm watching this football game, but next thing you know, I'm out of my seat, I'm clapping, I'm yelling at the TV, and I look over, my wife is looking at me weird. And I was just sitting there, I was like, "Why are you looking at me funny?" And she was like, "I thought you didn't like football." And I was like, "I don't really." And she was like, "Well, it doesn't look like it." So from then it just got worse. I mean, worse and worse. I started investing all sorts of time into football, watching it and all that kind of stuff. In fact, I wasn't very pleasant to be around when I watched football. In fact, I know a specific story when I was around Christmas time, and one of my daughters, Jada Lee, my six-year-old, was messing with the Christmas tree. I'm watching the football game. And so I'm watching the football game, and I hear my wife say, "Jada Lee, quit messing with the tree." And she said it a couple times. Right at that moment, the Seahawks made a bad play. And so I jumped up off the couch and I was like, "You suck! You suck!" Which, people, is not a shining example of how a pastor should be, okay? Like, but I'm human and I made a mistake. And so I didn't realize it until I heard my wife say, "Baby, he's not talking to you. He's not talking to you, baby." And I looked down and the look of terror on her face was like this. And she was backing up and I had to be like, "Oh, Jade, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I wasn't talking to you." And so it just got worse. And so finally the Seahawks, they made it. They're going to the Super Bowl. And so all of a sudden now I'm researching statistics on the Seahawks and the Broncos, on the players, on the weather conditions, all sorts of stuff that doesn't really matter. So I could determine who was going to win. And of course I knew the Seahawks were going to win and I knew it was going to be a blowout. So amen that, because I knew it. I called it. And so I'm researching all these statistics on players and how the turnout of the game is going to be. So here comes the coin toss, and they flip the coin. As soon as they flip the coin, the game was over, like before it even started. But at some point during all that football watching, my wife had said to me, she had said, "You know, I just started watching football, and you already are ruining it for me. I started enjoying it." She said, "If you spent as much time researching statistics as you did in the Word, you would know the Bible better than almost anybody." And so I laughed it off. I laughed. I'm serious. I think my buddy Jason was over there, and I laughed about it. In fact, Jason said that I was so consumed with football that it was like a dog consumed with rabies. And so, like, I mean, literally. So as soon as the game started, like I said, it was over. As soon as they walked out on the field, all the statistics that I learned and that I knew about both teams went out the window because I wasn't the one playing. Everything I know had no effect whether they did better or whether they did worse. But now the Word of God in our own life has everything to do with the effectiveness that we have in our mission field around us. Can we turn to Joshua 1:8? Oh, none of the youth have Bibles. Normally I would have them read this. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it because last time I think we went through this and I read it over anyway. So it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success." So what I'm going to do in this first part of my message is I kind of want to just break this scripture down for you guys a little bit. So hopefully you may understand, or maybe if you didn't know, you'd be able to get into the Word and understand it better and have it be more effective in your life. So the first part of this verse says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." Did I tell you guys in the story that I had to restrain myself from actually talking about football? I mean, literally, I would come to church and have to restrain myself from talking to you guys about football. Like, that's how bad it was. And that's exactly how we should be with the word, except for not restraining ourselves. We should have the word filled with us to the point that it's just overflowing out of us, because the word speaks to every situation that we can face in this earth. Has the ability to change us, has ability to change situations, has ability to change people's lives around us. And we should have an urgency to share the word with others, because it's changed us. If we know it's changed us, wouldn't you want to speak that to someone else's life, knowing that it can change them as well? So that's why it's saying this book of the law should not depart from your mouth. We should have that urgency to speak the word on all occasions. The second part of the verse that I want to touch on is meditating on the word. And just let me tell you this. There's a huge difference between meditating and reading the word. Because I don't know if you guys know, but I'm ADHD. And it's hard for me to pay attention for longer than 30 seconds without, like, getting distracted. Some of you might have noticed when I'm talking to you, I'll be looking around like this. Yes, I'm paying attention, but at the same time, I'm paying attention to everything else. So for me, I could sit down and read a book. I could sit down and read the Bible and read 4, 5, 6 chapters in the Bible, and then all of a sudden realize I'm reading the Bible. Like, that's just how it is for me. I actually have to listen to the Bible on audio and read along at the same time, kind of like a little kid, like someone's reading to me, although it's got to be animated. So it does. It's got to have the voices changing. I can't have the same monotone, deep voice or whatever. It's got to change with the storyline. So what's the difference between reading and meditating? The Hebrew word for meditate is haga. You guys say that with me? Haga. I think that's what it is. I don't know. It's what it says here. I didn't do the speaker thing on it. So, but the word haga means ponder, imagine, utter, speak, talk, and study. So this scripture isn't just saying that we should read the word, because reading it's the easy part. But afterwards, we should be thinking about what we just read. Like for me, meditating on the word just comes natural, because as soon as I gave my life to the Lord, I realized that completely his word was truth, and that was what was going to change me. And so ways that I did that was, first of all, I memorizing scripture verses. If you guys have good memories, memorize scripture verses, repeat them through yourself throughout the day. If you don't have a good memory, you can write it down on index cards, and when you do that, you can look at it all day. Or the third option is when you do your daily Bible reading, think upon that all day and just sit there and meditate on it throughout the day. Because you guys remember when Pastor Butcher said that the biggest jump is from our head to our heart? Yes. And that we need to believe? That's how you get the scripture from your head to your heart, people. You meditate on the word. It goes from head knowledge to heart knowledge. So the more we meditate on the word, the easier that it just pours out of us and flows into other people. Because that's what our heart is full of, the word. And when that's the case, the Bible says the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The next part of the verse I want to talk about is, it says, observe to do according to what is written in it. And the word observe in Hebrew is shamar, which means to take guard, take heed, and preserve. So this part of the scripture isn't a suggestion. It's not saying, and if you want to observe the law and do according to what it is in it, it says observe the law and do according to what is in it. Yeah. And it's important that we do this, because that way it actually changes the way that we view the word, and it changes our spiritual growth and allows us to grow to get closer to God. Because if we truly believe what we're reading, then it's going to change us from the inside, and it's going to reflect in our actions. So how do we do that? How do we get the word so we can understand that this is fully God's truth? We need to fully trust God. Proverbs 3:5. If someone gets there before me, they can read it. Proverbs 3:5, but it's too late. I'm there. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Dude, we got to trust in the Lord with our whole heart. So, I know you guys might not know this. Despite my physical appearance now, I actually used to be quite good at sports. And one of those sports I was good at was soccer. And now I know it just looks like I ate the soccer ball now, but I was actually good at it. So I was out there and I was playing soccer. I played soccer for years. Actually, I played in that stadium in Tacoma, that indoor stadium, for years. And so I would play and I'd go out there and I'd do really good in practice and I would do pretty good in the games. Until one day, we're out there playing soccer, right? And so here comes the ball. It's an open shot, right? Open shot, open goal. And I'm sitting there like, here comes the ball. I'm like, yes, I'm going to nail this thing. And so I step back and I kick that ball as hard as I can. And I miss the goal by like 2 inches, right? And then all of a sudden, over all my excitement, I hear my teammates yelling, no, no, that's the wrong way. And so I had kicked the ball. Luckily, it didn't score the goal, but I'd kicked the ball the wrong way. But instantly, something inside of me broke, and this fear came over me to where I was like, I can never do that again. I cannot allow that to ever happen again. So immediately following that, as soon as everyone started playing, and I'm telling you, an instant change, all of a sudden, I just stood there like this. And the ball would be rolling right by me, and I'm just standing there like this, watching the ball and watching the players. And so then practice came and the coach was like, what were you doing, man? And I was like, I don't know. And so the next game he put me in. And the next game after that he put me in. And I continued to stand there. But he put me in every game anyway. And he would always tell me, he was like, you're better than just standing there. You're actually really good at soccer. Why don't you just get out there and play the game? But I didn't want to listen to him. See, people, God is our coach, and it's his word that he uses to coach us. See, I didn't believe what the coach was telling me then. It wasn't until years later that I actually started believing what the coach said. But we don't want to be like that with the word. We need to believe the word for what it is now, and it's not for us to decide when we want to use it or what scriptures we want to use. See, God is holy, and he's set apart from us. We're not God. We're not the judge. And I can be 100% honest when I tell you there's some stuff in here that's graphic that I just don't understand why it's in there. And there's some pretty messed up stuff. But you know what? I'm not God, and it's not for me to question the maker of the universe. We have to fully trust God and believe what his word says. And he tells us this. He tells us that we're not going to understand what he does. And that's in Isaiah 55:9. Isaiah 55:9. Oh, say amen when you're there. Amen. Oh, I got one. Okay. Any more? All right. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He tells us that his ways are higher than our ways, and that his thoughts are higher than ours, so it's not for us to sit there and try to get a grasp on what he's going to do because he's God. We don't have to understand everything that he does or everything he puts in the word because that's not our job. Our job is to read it and obey it. It's that simple. It's as simple as that. What we need to do is get a revelation of that. Once we catch a revelation that his ways are higher than our ways and that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, it completely changes the way that we read scripture. And not only does it do that, but it takes us off our pedestal and that actually puts God on the throne. Amen. About 6 years ago, I started going to Faith and Victory Church. And in fact, before I even stepped foot in this door, I had met Pastor Matt and Crystal, and I had met them through a friend that was living at their house. And I'd had dinner with them maybe once or twice and watched a movie with them or something like that. But I had never stepped foot in this door, right? Never stepped foot in the door of the church. And so one day I was on my way to pick up my friend from their house. And no joke, clear as day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me on my way over there and told me that I was going to be the youth pastor of this church. And so I was sitting there and I struggled with it. I was like, that's just myself thinking that. Like, and so I sat there back and forth, like, you know, like, I don't know if you guys have ever heard anything from the Holy Spirit, and then you argue with the Holy Spirit, but really you're arguing with yourself because the Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen. And so here I am arguing back and forth, and then finally I'm like, you know what, I'm going to solve the problem right now. And so I called this girl, And I was like, hey, do they have a youth group at that church? And she was like, no, but they're trying to start one there. And so as soon as I heard that, I knew that this was the church that I belonged at. And so starting that, from that time on, I started attending this church, and I had huge expectations of this church, not only of this church, but more expectations of God than anything else. I had big expectations because I knew it was going to happen. Pastor Matt probably didn't know it was happening. I didn't know. I didn't tell him till way later that that actually happened, until he actually made me a pastor, and I told him, hey, the Holy Spirit told me before I even stepped foot in this door. So we have to have this, I had this big expectation of what God wanted out of me, and it was hard for me to come here because I left a church that had probably like 2,000 to 3,000 members to come to a church where second service had maybe 50 people. And I was like, I mean, the youth group was bigger than the members that we have now. And so I was sitting there like, okay, God, if this is where you want me, this is where I'm going to be. And I had huge expectation. So finally, I'd met my wife. We ended up getting married. And after we got married, Pastor Matt said to me, he was like, hey, since you guys just got married, how about we start up this youth group in about 6 months to a year? So right away, I was like, all right, that's fine. That won't be a problem with me, right? So all of a sudden, my expectancy level kind of dropped because I was like, okay, well, I'm starting this up. It's going to happen in about 6 months. And so it wasn't but 2 weeks later that I walked in the door on a Sunday morning, and Pastor Matt was like, I know I told you 6 months to a year, but we need to start the youth group right away. See, that day, wasn't expecting anything, but I should have been. I should have been more expectant. But isn't that the way that we are with the word sometimes? We go to the word with no real expectancy, but we should always have big expectancy when it comes to reading the word. Let me show you how obedience in scripture fulfilled prophecy. Can we go to Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through 21? You have it? All right. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through 21. Say amen when you're there. I'm just going to read it, though. It says, and when it's talking about he, they're talking about Jesus. So it says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened it, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, I'm not Jesus, but I'm pretty sure that when he went to the word, that he had big expectancy for everything. And so he went to the word, being obedient to what God had called him to do, going with expectancy, and prophecy was fulfilled. And I can almost probably, I don't know this because it doesn't say in the Bible, but I'm sure there was people that were there that had no expectancy that completely missed it. In fact, I know that there was people that completely missed it because he was still crucified and there were still religious people that didn't believe he was the Messiah. But right there, because of his obedience, prophecy was fulfilled. Now, sometimes we make a habit out of reading the word. It's just a habit for us. We don't actually take consideration of what it's going to tell us or have any kind of expectancy for it. See, for me, I didn't become a youth pastor overnight. It was a long, long process. But one thing I do know is that when I gave my life to the Lord and I picked up this word, I knew 100% that it was truth and that it was God's word and that it was his truth and it had the power to change my life. I didn't try to sit there and use my own logic on how I wanted to see what the word was going to do. But what I had was huge expectancy that this word was going to change my life, and I knew the call that God had placed on me. So I would get off work sometimes and go home. Well, I'd get off work all the time, but I would go home And I would sit down in my room, and it's not that I'm trying to put myself on a pedestal and think that I'm this, you know, great. Dude, I had a horrible life before I became a Christian. I will tell you guys, my life was horrible. I was bad. I was angry. I was violent. Like, completely different than who I am now. So because I wanted that change so bad in me, I would sit down for 3 hours a night and read the Bible and take notes on the Bible like someone was preaching it to me. Because I knew it had the ability to change me if I allowed it to. So I had to keep expecting big from Scripture because it spoke directly to the situations that I was living with. You know, every situation, it spoke right to it. But if we don't come to the Word with expectancy, it's going to limit what the Word can do in us. We have to expect big from the Word for breakthrough. No matter what the situation, it speaks to our brokenness. It speaks to our hopelessness. It speaks to any sorts of problems that you may have in your life. Amen. So what we need to do is view God's word as truth. As you go on this week, I encourage you to meditate on the word, trust in the Lord, and have big expectancy during your scripture reading. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we could come together and worship you. Father, just let us go here throughout our week, Father, and meditate on your word and learn to truly trust who you are and what your word says, Father. Help us to go with big expectancy every time we pick up the word and expect you to change something in our lives. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.